This episode is presented to you by TFS Health Science, Clinical Research Excellence.
Hello and welcome to Life Science Podden. My name is Samuel Lagercrantz and I'm the Editor-in-Chief for Life Science Sweden. Today we are sending the recording from Medicon Village in Lund from our Congress, The Future of Swedish and Danish Life Science, that we are doing with Medicon Village and Medicon Valley Alliance every year. This panel discussion is moderated by Lucy Robertshaw.
Our next session is the panel debate, which I'm excited to host, which is Anki Malmborg. She is the business coach for Smile Life Science Incubator. Hannah Fröström, back from Neola Medical. Håkan Frögren from Nasdaq in Stockholm. And also Oki Williams, who is a corporate advisor for Redeye. So I'd like to welcome you back onto the stage. Who would like to start? Hannah?
So we're talking about an IPO today. And I'm, as you, some of you who stayed for the entire day know, I'm CEO of Neola Medical. And we did an IPO in the middle of the pandemic in October 2020.
Okay. Anki?
I work now at the Smile Incubator, where we are guiding companies from early startup phases to some kind of exit, where IPO certainly can be one. Trade sale can also be another exit, depending on what type of company you are. I put Sensigen on Nasdaq First North in 2017, so I'm bringing that type of experience into the incubator.
Håkan?
Yeah. I've been with Nasdaq since 18 years now, I think, working mainly with bringing companies to the exchange and to a large extent to First North and many companies from this area.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and I'm from Redeye, which is a research-based or powered investment bank. So we do a lot of transactions within life science and tech. And as you know, the IPO window or the stock exchange isn't that positive. So we have done one this year, actually, but it wasn't other scenario the last 2 years.
Okay.
In number of IPOs for us.
Yeah. Hannah, we've done like a bit before this. I want to know about when do you think is the right time to go for an IPO?
Well, it's really the right time if you have a solid business, if you have a core team, if you also are ready with corporate governance that is really solid and that you are moving quite far ahead in terms of business and business model.
Yeah. Anki, what do you find as your challenge with Smile, or what do you see the companies needing in their next stage?
Yeah, I mean, you need to be ready for listing, which is the goal for some of our companies, of course. You really need to be prepared for what it means. You need to have time, I'd say at least 1 year before you... When you make the decision until you're actually listed, you need to bring the team together and you need to be prepared, I'd say, especially on the communication, because what happens is that all of a sudden you're exposed to thousands of owners and you can communicate them and you have to communicate them on the same time. And they understand money, they understand revenue. So you need to be quite a mature company in that sense to be able to handle that.
Okay, I'm thinking about how do you do your due diligence on companies that are wanting money, and do you have any good examples of business models that people need to have, or do you specifically look at board members? And
no, it's a combination, I think. Mm-hmm. It's also depending on the market situations. As it is to now, it's really hard for the life science companies. They need to be super mature, having revenue, everything like that. But before, in a more normal climate, we look at the board, we look at the maturity of the company, how mature it is. Mm-hmm. But we also look at the investor community, how they perceive this company. Are they interested in their investing? So we do something called pilot fishing. We do present the company to institutional investors, special investors, to see how they foresee the company, how they value the company. So that's one key. And that also could be one, the feedback we get there, we decides if we're going forward or we say hold, and you have to be more mature or have other things in place before you do an IPO.
Yeah. Håkan, I'm thinking about coming for an IPO to NASDAQ. Is it the last chance saloon for companies that think they're going to be able to be funded by, you know, private investors on NASDAQ North, and then they come and then, you know, trying to keep that momentum with the good news? Yeah. What happens in that solution that they don't have enough cash and then they, you know, hope that it's going to change their journey, but ultimately it's not, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, the listing parties or the IPO way is one way of financing a company. I mean, you mm-hmm. can do it in several ways. And unfortunately, right now, as Oki says, it's pretty tricky when it comes to valuations to go to the exchange. But I guess the venture guys don't want to pay as much either right now. They want to get into the companies at a lower valuation as well. So, I mean, it's not... Right now, it's not really the best date, so to say. But I think when you go, it's super important that you keep, and that is difficult for life science companies. I think you need to have some news coming out, and if you are in this early stage, the earlier you come, the less news you have come out with in a while. So you need to keep your investors in a happy mood, and it's not so easy all the time.
No, for sure. And I think that is typically for the life science companies that are quite in an early stage. You have the angel investors from the beginning. They're really passionate. Mm-hmm. But life science companies, we know they take a lot of time. It takes a lot of money to really go somewhere. And then you have the VC players who are really hard to attract for many of the smaller companies because the ticket sizes are too small for them. So I would say that a listing is quite good for the companies in between.
And that's something that is pretty outstanding here in our region. It doesn't exist anywhere else. I just looked before here that in Germany they listed 24 companies 2021, and we listed 163 in Stockholm. And they are 8 times bigger than we are. So you see that you need to get up in size to be able to even consider that way of funding a company.
Yes, and Johan Kirdle this morning from Sound BioVentures mentioned it was a fantastic time to be an investor, a private investor. If you, like myself, have private cash, what can I, you know, it might be the boom time, what can I potentially buy into that actually could, you know, be the next big one? Do you have any kind of suggestions for anybody in the audience who has cash that are thinking, you know, who is a good one to invest in?
I wouldn't mention a company, but what we see in the sector is that if one company has bad news, a lot of companies' valuation goes down. But it can be very specific bad news for that company and doesn't have anything to do with the other companies. Mm. So you have to do your homework on reading about the companies and understanding. So we have a lot of semi-mature companies are going global in medical device, for example, and they have also been, their valuation has also gone down, even though they have been performing and having positive news. So there's opportunities all through the sectors, absolutely. So it's as you say, evaluation is on a different level than it was like 2 years ago or 1 year ago.
But one thing that we really want to get rid of is the perception that investing in a stock for a life science company is a lottery ticket.
Exactly.
Where you win or you lose. That's mm-hmm. not at all what it's about. But the industry has got that problem.
And I think it's also about educating investors that actually it's not the short term. You have to be in it for 5-10 years. And that you actually have to be very passionate about that investment that you're doing, and you are prepared to not just pull your money out when the going gets tough. And I think that's also the education piece that we can do as the industry, is actually educating the investors, the public, and actually say what is, you know, the truth. because, you know, the gaming industry was big, you know, apps were big, and we really are a sustainable industry.
But it is difficult material for...
But that's your job, Nasdaq, surely, for, you know, to do this and actually take the baton and actually say, you know, actually, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. And I'm really embracing the communication guidelines that Nasdaq and Spotlight Market has taken together with Sweden Bio, which is really about how do we communicate in a professional way to the stock market for our companies. And for me as a CEO and for all CEOs being on the market for our listed companies, it's very important to really be super clear in your communication and avoid that horse that costs these lottery tickets.
Mm. Absolutely. Anki, do you have any thoughts about companies that are obviously thinking about IPOs? Do you feel that they need better handheld advice, or what do you feel on the networks? And, you know, we've talked a lot about networks today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need to know what you're getting into. And we were discussing just before here that I guess quite a few companies, or some companies at least, now feel that maybe we went listed too early. Mm. So I had this brilliant suggestion for Håkan that they can have, like, put companies on halt.
Yes.
Let's take a pause for 1 year. Can we do that?
Yeah.
He wasn't keen on the idea.
There might be some thousand shareholders that don't agree about that.
Yeah. But I feel...
But for the company, maybe it would be nice.
Yeah, some companies...
From a Red Eye point of view, is there something that we can plug the gap before people go for the IPOs? Is there something that we can actually get these private investors to actually say, okay, we're prepared to help for a year and then go for the IPOs? I'm thinking.
Exactly, and that's what's happening right now. And for every advisor that helps companies do the IPO, their advice today is that if you're not ready, it's not the right time. And as the market looked for 1 year ago, you could have a more high-risk, pre-revenue company doing an IPO.
Mm.
So it's a different climate today. And I think most advisors like Red Eye just are advising the companies to try to be private.
But it's the right time to start preparing.
Yes, exactly. And it takes, 6 to 9 months to prepare?
Yeah. More.
More.
So, Håkan, if a company comes to you today, are you likely to say, actually, you are too early? I mean, is it in the interest of NASDAQ to say, actually, you're too early? Or is it the interest of NASDAQ to say, actually, we'll take you?
Yeah, but it's... usually, it's the owners that decides this. I mean, I can only say... maybe you should wait a little bit, but most of them are clever enough to understand that now, because they only get half of the money that they should have had a few months ago. So that comes pretty natural, I think. But on the other hand, you prepare your company, do what you should do if you have that in the plan. And so when the market turns around and you get a little bit better paid, then you're ready.
And hopefully that's also something Noam can actually help with, of the mentoring, and actually get to the executive board level and say, actually, you know, it is too early. And actually, what are the pitfalls? Because actually, it's not going to help the business. And it's also not going to certainly help the patient population who are going to just have drugs or, you know, medical devices that are just going to be killed because there's no point. Because unfortunately, we haven't got enough money to get to market.
This episode is presented to you by TFS Health Science, Clinical Research Excellence. TFS Health Science is a global contract research organization supporting biotechnology and pharmaceutical companies throughout their entire clinical development journey. In partnership with its customers, TFS builds solution-driven teams working for a healthier future, combining the global range and capabilities of a large company with the flexibility, local expertise, and responsiveness of a mid-size CRO. Bringing together nearly 800 professionals serving more than 40 countries, TFS supports customers with comprehensive solutions through three strong business models. Clinical development services, providing full service support at all stages of the clinical development process. Strategic resourcing solutions, offering expert insourcing and targeted recruitment services. And functional services, providing strategic workforce management solutions. With TFS, you can expect more. Learn about the full scope of the company's clinical research offerings at tfscro.com.
So, does anybody have a question? Oh, yes.
Thank you. Normally, when you are listed, you have a good value when you go in. Have anybody measured the trade after you are listed? Because I think that the trade goes up immensely after you're just listed, just in order for example, the investor can actually have that as a proposal. You must be listed after a couple of years. So have you any idea of that? How is the trade of your stocks after you've been listed?
How it has been traded after the listing?
The first time when you actually can trade.
Yeah, of course it is. And that's, I mean, that's actually a job for the advisors to put the right price to go public on. And that's usually a sort of negotiation between the advisor and the owner of the company before they go out, because the company always want to come out at a little bit higher price, but you want to come in a little bit better price for the investors to attract them. And if you find it the right way, then maybe the price goes up like 5-6% the first day, which is perfect, because then it's everything has worked out well. If it goes up like 50-70% the first day, they have sold it a little bit too cheap and you have been a little bit too hard on it. On the other hand, it's the other way. So it's a trick for you guys, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it is also that we try to work with lockup, so you can't sell the first 6 months and other things, but it is always an interest around the company the first weeks that we try to work on and also, but we most life science companies, they want long-term owners that are willing to be part of that journey and not those short traders that are in for just a day or a week or a month for just to flip the share. But the reality is that we have robots, we have these traders, and we have short retailers, we have long retailers, we have institutional, and everyone, as a public company, you have to address all these different type of shareholders that you can have in your company. Mm.
And to be frank, I think most companies like these short-term shareholders when they are on the buy side, and then we don't like them so much when they sell. So I guess that's a little bit...
For sure.
But they are good... lubricant for the market, so to say.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to wrap this up. Hannah, if you can have one wish for the life sciences, what would it be? Or your organization or something in the life science?
One wish would really be to continue this great collaboration that's in the industry today, really about knowledge sharing.
Absolutely. Anki, what's your wish?
My wish now is that all the small owners or investors out there understand that it's a bargain. Go buy.
Bargain time.
A bargain
and
time.
That's NASDAQ's time to actually go out and actually shout and say that maybe it's a good time. Do you think?
I don't think we are allowed to do that, unfortunately. No, even if I think it as well.
Okay.
But it's...
What's your wish?
I think it would be very nice if things calm down a little bit. It's a little bit too much now with war, inflation, and energy crisis and everything, so we can settle a little bit, because there are still a lot of good companies out there and that are a little bit unfairly hit hard by this.
Yeah, and of
and
course...
And it's everywhere.
Okay, what's your wish?
Yeah, same as Håkan, the war, but we also, I would like to see more specialist funds in the Nordics that we have in the European... Mm-hmm. That is like, we have some anchor investors that is really good in the knowledge and in the long term, but we need more that want to invest in public companies. And we have a good VC community, but we need more institutional experts mm-hmm. that are willing to, because at the end, it's helping patients to healthier
course.
Life. And that's why we're here sort of working
Absolutely.
With this sector.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So thank you so much to the exhibitors and speakers and everyone for making this day possible. Stay up to date with lifesciencesweden.se, which is the website. And then also thank you to the arrangers for Medicum Village. And we hope that you will be back next year on the 7th of September, 2023.
This episode was presented to you by TFS Health Science. Clinical Research Excellence.
This was a recording from Medicon Village in Lund from the Congress, The Future of Swedish and Danish Life Science. It was recorded in September 2022. To stay updated with current news, please subscribe to our newsletter in English at our website, lifesciencesweden.se. Thank you for listening to Life Science Podden.